Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Two-time African Footballer of the Year, Mo Salah of Egypt, helped lead top-of-the-table Liverpool to another victory over the weekend. Joining us now with that story, as well as other European club football highlights, is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Egyptian football star Mo Salah netted twice as Liverpool grounded another victory by beating Watford 2-0 at Anfield to extend their unbeaten run at home to 34 matches. The win increased their lead to 10 points at the top of the Premier League after second-placed Leicester City fought back from a goal down to salvage a point in a 1-1 draw against Norwich. Belgian playmaker Kevin De Bruyne produced two sublime finishes and one silky assist for Raheem Sterling, as third-placed Manchester City produced a masterful performance to defeat Arsenal 3-0 at the Emirates Stadium. City remain on 14 points behind runaway leaders Liverpool, while the Gunners are ninth with 22 points, 7 points adrift of the top four.
Speaking of the top four, Prince, let's take a quick look at the top four goal scorers in the Premier League right now. Jamie Vardy of Leicester leads with 16 goals. Tammy Abraham of Chelsea and the Gabonese gunner Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Arsenal, they each have 11 goals. And Marcus Rashford of Manchester United has 10 goals. Still with the Premier League, the Blues of Chelsea are struggling right now. What are your thoughts, Prince?
The going's getting hard for the Blues, especially their younger players like English striker of Nigerian descent Tammy Abraham and Mason Mount, who continue to learn their trade at the highest level, while American midfielder Christian Pulisic is still getting to grips with the monumental task of replacing Eden Hazard's creativity. Anyway, Chelsea were also beaten by a late Dan Gosling's VAR-awarded goal at Stamford Bridge as Frank Lampard's side struggled to break through a resilient Bournemouth defence. Jan Vertonghen also scored an injury-time winner for Tottenham at the Molineux Stadium as they powered to a 2-1 scrappy victory over Nuno Espirito Santo's Wolves side. The victory lifted Tottenham Hotspur to fifth on the Premier League table, a point above Manchester United, who were held to a 1-1 draw by Everton at Old Trafford.
Prince, let's go to France now. I see some players with African ties got on the score sheet in the French league.
Indeed, Sunny. French international of Angolan descent Eduardo Camavinga scored a late win at the Groupama Stadium as René beat Olympique Lyon 1-0 to pull up to fourth in the French league table. Serbian super sub Nemanja Radonjic also earned a point for second place Marseille in a 1-1 draw at struggling Maze to ensure the Olympians moved 4 points behind defending champions Paris Saint-Germain. And talking about PSG, French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored twice, while Leandro Paredes and Mauro Icardi each added a goal to ensure the Parisians moved 7 points clear at the top of the French league table, the comfortable 4-0 win away at 10-man Saint-Etienne. Super Eagles striker Victor Osimhen also missed a late penalty, but Renato Sanchez's 84th-minute winner and Lille a 2-1 win over Montpellier. The win lifted the Great Danes to third place with 31 points from 18 games.
Prince, let's go to Italy now. That's where the Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo set yet another record in Europe. Tell our VOA football fans about that, Prince.
Incredible stuff. The Portuguese international made history in front of the home crowd, becoming the first player to record double-digit goals in 15 consecutive seasons within Europe's top five leagues after scoring a brace to ensure Juventus comfortably brushed Udinese aside 3-1 in Turin. It will be a quick turnaround for Juventus as they travel to Sampdoria midweek, while Udinese host Cagliari over the weekend. And in Spain, French footballer of Algerian descent Karim Benzema smashed the ball into the roof of the net in second half stoppage time to give Real Madrid a 1-1 draw at Valencia. Real Madrid stay level on points with top of the table Barcelona, whose 7-game winning run came to an end as they fought back with goals from Antoine Griezmann and Luis Suarez to secure a 2-2 draw against Real Sociedad. Barcelona hosts Real Madrid on Wednesday in a Clásico after the originally scheduled match in October was postponed due to political protests in Catalonia. I'm Prince Nesta, on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. Now let's go to Kampala, where semifinal matches will be played Tuesday at the 40th CECAFA Cup football tournament. The Cranes of Uganda will host the Taifa Stars of Tanzania. And in the other semifinals, the Red Sea Boys from Eritrea will take on the defending champion Harambee Stars of Kenya. Both games will be played at Startime Stadium in the Ugandan capital. Host Uganda finished group play with the maximum 12 points from 4 matches. And I know head coach Jonathan McKinstry would love to end the year by lifting the CECAFA Cup trophy.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Nigeria's Ministry of Youth and Sports has set up an advisory committee to come up with strategies for a successful outing at next year's Tokyo Olympic Games. Team Nigeria captured only one medal at the 2016 Rio Olympics in Brazil. That was a bronze medal won by the men's football team. To find out more about the advisory committee, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with Nigeria's Minister of Youth and Sports, Sunday Dare.
The committee set up is the normal, any year we're having Olympics in sight. Such a ministerial advisory committee is set up, which is the membership is drawn from the NOC and the relevant directors within the ministry who are extremely familiar with the sports terrain in the country. So basically, they have started their work. And as you know, they've had a number of meetings. They have a work plan, which they intend to follow with specific timeline. And just last Monday, of course, they came out with one of the most important work they've done. That is narrowing down the country's participation to just 11 sporting activities. Also listing the names of some of our athletes that have already qualified for the Olympics. Also talking about how we're going to work to help other sports qualify as they go through their final qualifiers. They also talked about the fact that there will not be wild card like we used to have before. So we expect that in the next couple of weeks, they will get down to the details about campaign site, the timing for camping, the campaign that will be in country, the campaign that will be outside of the country.
The Ministerial Advisory Committee also recommended 120 days of camping for Team Nigeria. Do you have any place in mind that the team will camp before the Olympic Games?
Absolutely. First, in country, we have identified 5 places where the camping will take place. And it is done in a deliberate way because there are some spots that cannot, they are best suited to camp in a particular place. So we've identified places like Jos, places like Port Harcourt, places like Benin, places like Lagos. And different sporting activities have been assigned to each of these sporting camps that we have. So each sport will be camped in states where it's most suitable when it comes to weather, when it comes to facilities and logistics. So that's been done in a deliberate way, and I think the details of that will be released by Tuesday this week.
The Ministry of Youth and Sports has planned to launch Adopt an Athlete campaign. What's the purpose of this campaign?
One of the main of our sports development has been lack of insufficient funding, lack of welfare for our athletes, lack of support in terms of grants And very often, our athletes are left alone to develop themselves over the years. But then this time, we want to kind of change the fundamentals of our engagement. First, we have Olympic Tokyo 2020 in sight, and we thought that it was a need to get more Nigerians involved in our preparations, get them to appreciate our athletes, get them to also invest in the success story of our athletes, but also in the overall success story of Nigeria as it is. So we came up with the idea of Adopt an Athlete campaign. It's just a single component of the entire adoption campaign that we have, believing that our efforts to bring private funding into sports development must also involve bringing private money to enhance the capacity and the talent development of our athletes. So the whole purpose is to showcase our athletes, most of them that are already Olympic bound, basketball team, and then present them to the Corporate Nigeria and other organizations and see how we can have them adopt either the team or the athlete. We have worked with the athletes to develop the kind of packages they need, working with from training, from camping, from traveling to for trials, from paying their coaches, getting the right kind of coaches. So we have a package each that suits each of the foreign athletes or the home-based athlete. And we're looking at an organic relationship. Once a company or an individual adopts an athlete, they're put directly in contact with the athlete. The funding will go directly to the athlete. The athlete will know who is funding, who is adopting him or her, and then they can have a relationship. That money goes directly to the athlete.
That's Sunday Dare, Nigeria's Minister of Youth and Sports. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Dare, Minister of Youth and Sports Development, Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Joining us now with more African sports news is Samson Omale. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with Ghana football. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. Ghana's president, Nana Akufo-Addo, says the direction of Ghanaian football must be for the Black Stars to win the African Cup again and also compete at a global football level. He said his government was ready to give the necessary support to drive football so the Black Stars could win their fifth AFCON, which has been an elusive search since annexing the fourth title in 1982. The president, however, declined to make any comments on the future of the current coach of the Black Stars, Kwesi Appiah, following Ghana's disappointing performance at the 2019 African Cup of Nations.
What we can do is to give maximum support to the new FA. We want the Black Stars, at the very least, to win the Africa Cup again. That's the only direction that we want to get. And then beyond that, as much as possible, also to compete at the global level.
And now to boxing news. Ghanaian boxer Richard Kumi lost his IBF lightweight belt to Teofimo Lopez in a spectacular second-round technical knockout at the Madison Square Garden. Richard Kumi, in the past, had won the Ghanaian lightweight title, the International Boxing Federation Continental African Lightweight title, African Boxing Union Lightweight title, and the International Boxing Federation Intercontinental Lightweight title, alongside Commonwealth Lightweight title. The Ghanaian boxer, after the fight, attributed his second round defeat to fate.
I mean, Teofimo did great. I mean, we needed to do what we got to do. He got his shot and he capitalized on it. Fair enough for him, and he did great. You know, he went there with the best, and we give our hearts. You know, we did everything and give what the fans want, you know. But definitely, you know, champions do come back, and I'm definitely going to come back strong and become a two-time world champion.
Elsewhere in the Ultimate Fighting Championship, Kamaru Usman, known as the Nigerian Nightmare, has retained his UFC welterweight championship after a dramatic late stoppage to defeat trash-talking challenger Colby Covington in the final minutes of their main event bout at the UFC 245 in Las Vegas. The Nigerian battled toe-to-toe with his American rival through four hugely entertaining rounds at the T-Mobile Arena, breaking Covington's jaw with a huge punch in the third round. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Voice of America.
I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength.
singing, come back, baby, come back. Come back, baby, come back.
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOAsunnySports. Now let's go to Australia, where the United States once again won the President's Cup Team Golf Tournament. Joining us with more details is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The United States victory marked the first time a team has won the President's Cup from a deficit going into the final day. And the Americans dominated day four of the competition, clinched the trophy for the 11th time, and staged the greatest comeback in the history of the tournament. And there was no better player than Captain Tiger Woods, who led the Americans from the front with an unblemished 3-0 record. Tiger has proven time and time again that he is the sport's most dangerous competitor when the stakes are high. And he set the tone on the green and from the sidelines to rally his team to its 8th consecutive President's Cup title. And Tiger said they did it as a team.
The whole team played extremely well today on a very difficult golf course against a very formidable international team. They were up 8-10, and the guys went and got it done.
Tiger is the first playing captain in 25 years, and he said his team's come-from-behind victory was due to his unwavering trust in his players. But Tiger admitted being a team captain and a player was a bit of a juggling act.
My responsibility as as a captain was to put together the team and to put together, bring the guys together as a team, and we did that. Now my responsibility as a player is whenever the captain said to go out and play, go earn a point.
American Matt Kuchar delivered the winning point on day four with a 5-foot birdie putt on the 17th that gave the Americans the half point they needed to clinch the title. And afterwards, Kuchar said winning the cup was just as thrilling as playing alongside and for Tiger Woods.
To have a chance to make a team captained by the greatest player ever, that is also a player on the team. I can't tell you how unique, how cool of a thing that is to not only play for him, but alongside of him.
The international team had the lead going into the final day for the first time since 2003. Team captain Ernie Els of South Africa assembled the youngest ever international team with hopes of ending their 21-year drought at the tournament. And they came close, but just didn't have enough to stop the momentum of the United States. The Internationals suffered a 16-14 loss, with only two players winning full points on the day. As for Tiger Woods, the President's Cup victory caps off a stellar year that began with a comeback of his own at the Masters tournament. He now ends 2019 with a victory as team captain. And with 27 wins, he now has the most victories ever in the President's Cup competition. Tiger will have a chance to extend that record when the tournament comes to the United States in 2021. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. A stellar year indeed for Tiger Woods, the captain of the USA's President's Cup winning golf team. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
In National Basketball Association action Sunday, LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers continued to roll, clipping the wings of the host Atlanta Hawks 101-96. LeBron tallied 32 points, 13 rebounds, and 7 assists, while teammate Anthony Davis had 27 points and 13 rebounds. The Lakers are tied with the Milwaukee Bucks for the NBA's best record, 24 wins and 3 losses. The Hawks, meanwhile, lost for the 21st time in 27 games. In New York City, the Brooklyn Nets beat the Philadelphia 76ers 109-89. Philadelphia played without Cameroonian star Joel Embiid, as we hear now from the AP's Christian Arnold.
The Nets bounced back from a loss in Toronto with a 109-89 victory over the 76ers. Spencer Dinwiddie recorded a team-high 24 points in the win, which included a crowd-pleasing one-handed dunk over Tobias Harris in the third quarter. Joe Harris added another 16 points of his own.
It was just one of those games where, you know, I felt like we were locked in right from the get-go. Even though it was a quick turnaround, the preparation was right. We came in a little bit early, able to go over a number of their plays, talk about personnel, did a good job executing the game plan, and then, you know, a little bit different than last night, we were able to make shots tonight.
The victory snapped a two-game losing streak for the Nets, who had dropped games to the Hornets and the Raptors. With Joel Embiid out with an upper respiratory illness, Dinwiddie said the game plan was to take Ben Simmons and Harris out of the game.
You try to make them take tough twos. You focus on Tobias, he's their primary scorer. Obviously, Ben is a phenomenal playmaker, but, you know, you try to get under his screens, make his looks at the rim tough.
Simmons finished the night with 20 points for the Sixers, and Harris contributed 17 points of his own. Christian Arnold, New York.
Thanks, Christian. In Sunday's other NBA results, the Orlando Magic scored a 130-119 road victory against the New Orleans Pelicans. The Indiana Pacers beat the visiting Charlotte Hornets 107-85. The Denver Nuggets won at home against the New York Knicks 111-105. And in a matchup between California-based clubs, the Sacramento Kings crushed the host Golden State Warriors 100-79. It seems like only yesterday we were talking about the basketball dynasty in Golden State, but it's been a miserable season for the Warriors this year. They lost their star guard, Steph Curry, in the offseason. They lost their star forward, Kevin Durant, who signed with the Brooklyn Nets. The Warriors opened a new multi-million-dollar arena this season in San Francisco. They lost yesterday for the 23rd time in 28 games. How the mighty have fallen. And that wraps up the December 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa,
Nnamdi Kanu, the leader of the indigenous people of Biafra, talks about the efforts and challenges to secede from Nigeria. The struggle for independence on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
It's summertime in the Southern Hemisphere, but if you're north of the equator, Border Crossings will bring you some warmth with our Psychedelic Sunshine Show. You'll hear from the best Californian musicians of the 60s, like Sonny and Cher, The Monkees, and The Beach Boys. Tune into Border Crossings on December 19th for the grooviest songs in the world, only on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Data from a recent flyby of Jupiter by NASA's Juno spacecraft enabled mission investigators to discover a new cyclone near the planet's south pole. According to the scientists, the new storm is as big as the U.S. state of Texas. Shortly after arriving in 2016, scientists noticed that there were five large windstorms circling and forming a pentagon pattern around a central storm in Jupiter's southern polar region. This newly formed cyclone joins the five outer storms to expand the pattern from a pentagon to a hexagon. For the flyby, Juno was sent down to an altitude of only 3,500 kilometers above the gas giant's cloud tops. The Juno team also had to come up with some innovative measures during the flyby to keep the solar-powered spacecraft from going through what they say could have been a mission-ending eclipse. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello Africa, this is James Butte, host of Voice of America's Daybreak Africa. Join me Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5 and 6 hours UTC for the latest in Africa news, features and sports. We are also available on the internet at www.voaafrica.com. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show on the Voice of America.